Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Welcome to everybody here and also to those watching online. Thank you for joining Central Study Hour. And it's so nice to be able to gather here together on this Sabbath and be, you know, to pause from our busyness from this world and lift our hearts to God. And one of those ways is to do music. And we praise God for this opportunity. So our first song for the service is O Zion Haste, hymn number 365. We sing stanza 1, 2, and 4. To request a hymn for upcoming Sabbath, you can visit www.saccentral.org and click on Contact Us, and you share your name, where you're from, and the hymn that you would like us to sing. So for our final hymn this morning, we'll sing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, hymn number 569, and we will sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Pass me by.
To pray, let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath, and you gather us here together in the sanctuary and from afar. And Lord, as we worship you through music and through your word, please quiet our hearts and lift our eyes on you, and help us to focus on the study shortly. And we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And this morning, we are blessed to have our panel discussion, Pastor Mark, Elder Matthew, Joanna, and Elder Jim. So please open our hearts to study the Word. And today's lesson will be lesson number one, Paul's Ministry in Corinth. God bless.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. It's so exciting that we are here again in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Are you all excited? Yeah. We welcome you to another lesson. That's actually an exciting lesson. We are in a new quarter, and we are studying the whole two books of Paul, which are actually letters, and pretty short books, but pretty long letters. And they are 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's exciting, actually, that the author of our lesson entitled the whole thing as The Essence of Christian Life and Witness. And that's all what's all about, right? That's what Christianity is all about. Well, today we have here, as was introduced, Sister Joanna and Brother Matt, and Pastor Mark to help us in our study today. It's a different forum. Usually we had only one talking, and now I have the easiest work. Actually, I just throw questions. They'll be giving you the thoughts, okay? Before we do that, why shall we not pray? Well, I'd like to lead us in prayer, Pastor Mark.
Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that you brought us here together to study your word and to study our new Sabbath School quarterly. As we open the pages of Scripture, we invite your presence to be with us. We invite your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth, that the truth shall set us free.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. Speak through us, Father.
Please.
May self be hidden and lost, and may Jesus be lifted up and glorified this morning. For we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, before we get into the first lesson, which is all about Paul's ministry in Corinth, let me ask a question about in your study of the whole book, I mean, the two letters of Paul, 1 and 2 Corinthians, how can you, in his own words, how would you summarize Paul's overarching passion as he expressed in his letters? In those two letters? Anybody can answer the question.
Paul's a very passionate person, and he, he basically references his time with the apostles, with disciples and, with Jesus, and has different references of that. So, and that's expressed, I think, in his letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it than that, but I mean, there's very brief.
Yes. Yes. To add to that, I believe that Paul's central theme of his writings was Christ, specifically the life of Christ and him crucified.
Right.
The death of Christ, but not just the life and death, but the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Because what is the gospel if I told you that Christ lived a perfect life? He died for your sins, but he still remained in the grave. Is that the gospel?
Yes.
Part of the gospel includes the resurrection of Jesus. And I think Paul makes a great point in 1 and 2 Corinthians.
Amen. Sister Diona, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I would say Jesus Christ and Him crucified is really the center focus of Him. And even in these letters, He says that He would rather just get deep into that rather than anything else.
Anything else, yes. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, that includes resurrection, as Pastor Mark said, right? And you, in fact, you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, let's get into lesson 1. As an introduction, our lesson is telling us how writing letters has been an age-old practice, right? Especially to those who you want to communicate with. But what do we know was Paul's main profession to understand exactly who Paul is?
He was a tent maker.
He was a tent maker, right? So does the Bible say anything more about him being a tent maker?
It was kind of a temporary and supplementary way for him to make funds for his travels without burdening any of the churches. So it was a way that he was able to make funds and make a little bit of money to take care of living expenses without burdening the churches.
But there's not much mention about it, right? Why?
I believe it's only used once in the entire Bible, that word tent maker. But the city of Corinth was also a business port, a capital where business transactions took place. It was right in the middle between northern and southern Greece. Greece. And so it was a port. People traveled to and from there. There's a lot of business going on. But one of the business that Paul was into, well, his only one, was tent making. But I would just say that's kind of like his part-time job.
Uh-huh.
Because his main job was to preach the gospel.
Soul winning.
And soul winning. Yeah.
And you ask why?
Yeah.
Why is it that it's so just not so mentioned in the Bible? And I would say that after he had that personal encounter with Jesus, he was so in love with him. His relationship went so deep, and that's exactly what happens when you are in love, isn't it? You just cannot stop talking about the one that you love.
Amen.
You love, it just takes a lot of your headspace. And I think that's exactly why, you know, this was something that he did. It might have taken a lot of his time, especially when he was in Corinth, but it was not the center of his thoughts and his life.
Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank you very much for that thought. You know, sometimes we are, I mean, after all, his tent making is not as important as what he's actually doing. I mean, his purpose, right? And that's why there's nothing much. Thank you very much for that thought.
And I think it was also a means to an end. You know, he needed to pay the bills, and that's what he used. Mm-hmm. And it could be the same for each one of us.
Right.
If you think
that was his lure to win souls. He was able to bring people in to to fix their tent, and at that point, he would share the gospel.
It's a good entry point, right? And win souls for Jesus. Thank you very much. Beautiful thoughts here. Let's go to Sunday's lesson. Paul, a God-called apostle of Jesus. And, of course, you can read that from the first verse of 1 Corinthians, even the first verse also in 2 Corinthians, right? But how does Paul typically introduce himself in his letters? Not only in 1 Corinthians, by the way. It's almost on all of his letters.
His relation to Jesus is the way he opens all of his letters.
Mm-hmm.
His relationship with him and you know, what had happened to him, and he explains that to each one of his letters.
Uh-huh.
Apostle of Jesus by the will of God. Not by his own will, but by the will of God.
And he will read that always on, right? Even in Galatians, in Romans, in other epistles of Paul. He always says, I'm an apostle of the Lord. What's an apostle, by the way?
A commissioned messenger. An authoritative ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Sent on a special mission with power. Yes. From the one who sent him.
Amen. Yes.
And we need to understand also that there is a big difference between a disciple and an apostle. A disciple is a student, a pupil, someone who is following in the footsteps of Jesus, someone who's been there with Jesus, such as the 12 disciples. Whereas an apostle is someone that had an encounter with Jesus,
yes.
not necessarily walk hand in hand with him, but they had an encounter with Jesus. And for Paul's case, or Saul, on the road, and he was blinded by the light. And he had an experience with God, and it was a transformative encounter with Jesus. And immediately God called him to go out and to preach the gospel.
Right. In fact, that calling. My follow-up question is this: He was not among the apostles, the original apostles, to whom Jesus Christ appeared after resurrection, right? And yet he claimed to be one of them.
Amen.
Right? So, yet he includes himself in 1 Corinthians. You can read that in 1. How did he back that up? What is his basis? Well, Pastor Mark actually alludes to it.
It's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, he uses the word kletos in Greek, which is called or ordered or called for a divine purpose, a divine authority, or a divine office. Or it also in the Greek talks about called for salvation. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Romans 1:1, Paul uses the word doulos as a servant, right? Which in Greek is actually slave, someone who is in bondage. And it's not bondage to some, I mean, typically we think of the word bondage as something negative, right? Negative connotation. Right. But Paul is saying, I am a slave to God. Mm-hmm. I am in bondage to God. But why? Because Jesus is his all in all. He had that, Paul had that encounter with God.
Right.
And he wants to dedicate his whole entire life to him, to serve him.
Yeah, even with the current understanding of a slave, actually, it's something wonderful. Like when somebody says that he's a slave and he accepts it, right? Anyway, it's the road to Damascus was the one that's really he referred to when he was called, right?
You know something interesting? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15,
yes,
I believe it's verse 9 and 10, Paul actually tells us that he was the least of all apostles.
Yes.
And not only that, but when he was called to be an apostle, mm-hmm. he felt that he was not worthy to be an apostle. Why? In verse 10, it says, because he had persecuted the Correct. Church of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
So he felt his own unworthiness. Even though you're called to be an apostle, he still felt his unworthiness and his dependence upon Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that in it was his greatness. The many accomplishments that he did, all the letters that we don't even have all of them. But all of that was because he recognized who he was in the sight and the presence of a mighty God that Amen. Loved him so much, that took him out of where he was, out of his blindness, gave him sight, and gave him a purpose to accomplish.
As Amen. Humble as Paul was, you know, as they described him, yet he, in one verse, he said, while he called himself least of all the apostles, he said, but I labored more than them all. It's kind of contradictory to what he just said, right? It's like he's claiming, okay, I'm the least of all of them, and yet I labored all of them. How was he able to labor the most, being on the least?
I think he viewed himself as the least because he persecuted the church, like he said. But instead of letting that paralyze him because of doing those horrible things to the church, he embraced God's grace. And it freed him and allowed him, to remove the shame and preach the word and serve the body.
Leaving those things behind.
Yes, amen. In other words, he recognizes that while he was least and he labored more, he doesn't credit that to himself. But that he says it is only by the grace of God.
Amen.
Right? That's what you're trying to say, right? Okay. Whatever you're calling, each of us have, I believe, are called, right? Called for what? Maybe not necessarily be a pastor, but whatever your calling is, how do you know that you are called? Of course, that's a personal question to everyone. Anyone want to give a reflection?
Because God has said it. God has said it. God has called me, and God has called us in many different verses in the Bible, Jeremiah 14:9, 1 Peter 2:9. We have calls, call after call, to become one of God's children.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
I got another explanation on that. It says one needs to recognize a persistent desire that refuses to go away, and an internal pull to serve a specific purpose confirmed by a unique talent.
Yeah, I think we have a greater call. That's what I was talking about, and I really appreciate that point, because then we have, okay, how does that call just shows up in your life? And I remember when I started to know the Lord 20 years ago, that was actually one of the things that I prayed about. And I asked him, where do you want me to be? Where am I going to be more fruitful for you, and in doing what? And he guided me. And, that call, that this specific call for each one of us may change throughout time. But the thing that remains is that everyone's call is related to that close relationship with him, and to make that relationship available to others.
Amen to that.
Amen.
It reminds me of the 12 disciples. When Jesus called them, he said, come up to the mountain and be with me. That was part of the calling of the disciples, was to be with Jesus, besides healing and teaching and preaching, which they later did afterwards. But part of our call to God is to be with Jesus. And that's what Paul did.
I think that's a very important point. Thank you very much. And well, let's move forward to Monday's lesson. All of you know that Corinth was not the only place where he served, right? And before that, where was he? And what did he do there? Was he successful?
Yes, he was successful in different ways. Both cities were different. All three were different, but, Athens, he spent about 18 months there, established a church. And of course, Berea, each church had some different issues, I guess.
Okay.
But
we don't hear much about that success.
No.
But he was before that, you wanted to say something?
Well, he was, success can be seen in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we get to heaven, we'll see a lot of what we thought on earth were failures, that God had accomplished what he wanted in the first place with that.
Right.
Some of those experiences will happen. And I think that it was for him a stepping stone, because he had a strategy. He approached the people in Athens with where they were, with their own gods and with their own writers and with their own ways. And then he changed his strategy in Corinth. Right. So if our apparent failures can help us to move forward in the knowledge of the Lord, in the Amen. Dependence of him, Amen. Then they are stepping stones for bigger blessings.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And had to work his way up.
Yes.
Starting at the smaller yes. places in brief time there in each one.
So Paul was in Greece, Athens, and specifically on a place called Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. And he was in a courtroom, and he had the opportunity to speak the gospel to a lot of people who did not know Jesus. I mean, they had an inscription to the unknown God,
right?
And so they didn't know who that person was, but Paul was there to explain, to make known who that God was. And as a result, people were converted.
Oh. And those were seeds that we only heaven will reveal how those seeds, you know, progressed. And it says in Acts 17:34, some men joined him and believed. So there was some success right there and then.
Amen.
But only God will reveal, you know, all the other seeds that were planted there and how he worked with it.
What led him to move from Athens to Corinth?
I don't know about that one. Well, I'll just say this, that Athens was, you know, an intellectual graveyard.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, was a society with, you know, a bunch of pagan mythology, and it was just a really a bad place. But he planted a lot of very good seeds there that grew. And why he went to Athens, or I actually went to Corinth after that, I think it was because it was a bustling city, a place that... A lot could be learned. There was a lot of there's a slight division between, you know, people that were rich and poor, and so there was a place there that he could, you know, really teach people a lot of really good stuff about the Lord.
Okay, so when he moved to Corinth, what's the first thing that he did, and for how long was he there?
He was there for a year and a half, according to Acts 18, and. The first thing he did was he linked up with two people by the name of Priscilla and Aquila, who they were both tent makers themselves. And he began to be a tent maker by trade as well, like a sideline job on the side. But his main thing, like as was mentioned before, was that he was a preacher of the gospel.
Yes.
And you could see him in the synagogue preaching the gospel to Jews. And so that's what Paul did.
And that was just his passion, right? and what strategy did Paul employ when we can say authenticates his claim to be apostle of Jesus Christ?
He was appealing to his direct encounter with the risen Savior, you know, producing a visible convert as proof and performing miraculous signs, boasting of his extreme physical suffering of what, you know, Paul went through. And that's how he explained, his connection with the Lord. So that was...
And Pastor Mike has mentioned a while ago that he went to Corinth and went directly to the synagogue, preached the gospel there. Why that passion? And what did he express he was determined to know? I mean, he could have said many things about the different brothers and sisters that he met there, right? Except, of course, Priscilla and Aquila. But instead, there's something that really focus his thoughts on that he really was determined to know.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified."
Amen.
So because that was the focus of his thoughts, his life, his headspace was filled with that. Then, you know, what we have in is what comes out. So that's what he was talking about while he was working, while he was in the synagogue, while he was in the, buying his groceries, wherever he was.
It would be interesting for, like, for example, a pastor who comes to a church and he doesn't know his brethren, right? And yet, that was secondary to him. And his focus was on Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Let's move on to Tuesday's lesson. The city of Corinth. What do we know about the city of Corinth? Economy-wise, morality-wise, and religious-wise.
Well, like it was mentioned earlier, you know, this was Corinth was a bustling cosmopolitan hub, a capital of the Roman province, and there was definitely, like we said earlier, kind of a divide between the wealthy, and the poverty-stricken. It was a city that was growing immensely, very quick. And it was, you know, probably a place that knew and, you know, new ideas and the religion could really grow. And that's what Paul did.
In that city, it was known for sexual immorality, and they also had a lot of shrines being built up to worship other gods, and so it was very immoral as well. But yet, it was a commerce business port. Where people would come and go, and so a lot of traffic would be there. A lot of different religions would come through. A lot of different gods and beliefs would come through that port, and so it was kind of like a melting pot of all these different types of, you know, religions coming together.
Right.
And so that was kind of like the environment.
The Bible significantly describes the situation in Corinth. That means to say it must be very important for us to know, right? What bearing has that to the gospel propagation? You know, we understand it's a center of commerce. In fact, it has two major ports, right?
Yes.
Like where things spread so fast. How is that important to the work Paul had in that city?
I think there was a lot of people that were, you know, coming and going there, and so it was definitely a hub, a place that that it could really grow. And so Paul was, you know, this was a place that was kind of in moral decline, and a lot of people are probably searching for the truth, searching for the word, searching for God, because they knew that there was a lot of evil in, so, in, you know, a place like Corinth. So I think that's, you know, it was a bustling commercial hub, and it was just a place that people could grow. I mean, that was that.
Yes, you want to say something?
That was the MO of God, because from the get-go, He always placed His people in places where they could be to the most influence to the ones around them.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Even talking, yes. You know, from Genesis to, honestly, I think to Revelation, we are to be placed where, you know, the light has to be on top of the hill, because that's what He wants, to make
Amen.
Himself known. And for that, you need to be in contact with people, and you need to
Amen.
Represent Him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And it's a good thought that wherever God places us, right? He has a purpose.
Yes.
It's interesting how the memory verse says it beautifully. This is Jesus speaking in Acts 18, verse 9 and 10. Despite all the issues going on within the city, Jesus says to him, one night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you. For there are many in this city who are my people."
Amen.
And so,
wow,
it's interesting that word "but speak" in the Greek. It's in the present imperative tense, which means don't just speak once, continually speak or continually preach the gospel. And so that was the command given by God to Paul, and Paul did that.
Yes.
He said, "Do not keep silent and do not be afraid to speak."
Yes. And I'm glad that you're moving on. Actually, that's being touched in a Wednesday's lesson, and it's good. We are there. And why do you think Jesus said that to him? I mean, it was said in a vision, right? To him.
He was really discouraged. And we can see in the letters, you know, why would that be? There were a lot of issues with these churches, just the same as they are in our churches today.
Uh-huh.
And whoever wants to really work the work of God and reformation and calling out sin with the love of God in their hearts will find themselves at some point discouraged. So the same way that Paul started his journey with a direct word of Jesus was the same way that he encouraged him in Corinth to continue to be there and to continue pursuing the hearts and the minds of the ones living there.
Yes, thank you. That was a good one.
Well said.
In Acts 18, so Paul, you know, he meets with Priscilla and Aquila, and he becomes a tent maker. Then he goes into the synagogue, preaches to the Jews about the gospel. And then all of a sudden, there's this big commotion and opposition comes, as Johanna was mentioning. And what do you do when people oppose you? What do you do when people persecute you and basically tell you, get off the pulpit, stop preaching, stop preaching the gospel. We don't want to hear that anymore. Paul could have just quit. And it's practical for us today. Like when we get rejected, people telling us not to do things, we could easily just quit, pack up, and go. But did Paul do that? No, he went next door to the church. He went to the house of Justice Crispus, and eventually preached the gospel there. And eventually, the whole household became believers, and they were baptized.
It is important to say that that was in direct obedience to the word of God. Amen. So even Jesus told his disciples, you know, just take up your sandals, you know, clean the sand off and just go. So there will, the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God will enable us to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit to know when is the time to move on, and when is the time to get courage, get, how is it said, get warmth from the coldness of those around us, and just keep working the works of God.
Amen.
Get the strength from the Holy Spirit. You know, he'll tell you when, where to go and where to be at the right time. And you're there for a purpose, and he was.
Praise the Lord. I hope we are all getting encouragement in those. I mean, it's so easy to be disappointed when you see all these issues that you see, not only in the city, but even in your church, right? Because the church itself is influenced, right?
It's interesting that Jesus' words to Paul kind of mirrors what God said to Moses. Moses, don't be afraid. Just speak. Mm-hmm. I am with you. Tell them who I am, and I will never leave you. I'm with you, and you know, don't shut up. Keep speaking, keep preaching, and just know that I'm going to be with you. No one's going to touch you.
Yes.
So we have the protection of God.
Amen. Basically, the same thing as he mentioned in Isaiah 41:10, right? Fear thou not, for I am what?
With you.
With you, and be not dismayed, for I am your God. How many among us here have tried really outreach work and you are rejected? And not only you're rejected, you see you come to your own church and you see that your church has a lot of problems other than probably just rejecting you. I'm glad that he was not rejected there, right? But did Paul actually experience fear? We think of Paul as somebody who is so strong and so, who is so, he can withstand anything, right? But was he ever fearful?
Very fearful. Much fear and trembling is what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:3. You know, when you have these different missions and endeavors, it's a clear proclamation of the gospel, empowering leadership. You know, the Lord changes lives and wholehearted commitment, for survival. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, basically it was very tough. I mean, these people, and some of them didn't want Paul there, but the Lord gave him the strength and the wisdom and the perseverance that he needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, another thing is, I'd like to share with you some quotes from Ellen White. Actually, it's on Friday's lesson. I know I'm ahead a little bit. It says, in preaching the gospel in Corinth, the apostle followed a course different from that which has marked his labors at Athens. He determined to avoid elaborate arguments, discussions, and not to know anything among the Corinthians, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then Ellen White continues on, sketches from the life of Paul. He says Paul had a measure of success, but he doubted the wisdom of building up a church from the material he found there. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You come to church, okay, nowadays, pastors, you are assigned to a church, right? You find something in the church, and it doesn't seem like you will be successful there, right? My question is, comparing what Paul experienced in the previous cities, like Berea and Athens, with his experience to Corinth, what made the difference of Paul's choice of leaving or staying in a certain mission field?
God's call, God's direct,
God's
command.
Command, okay.
He was very direct. You have to stay.
Right, uh-huh. Any other thoughts? Yes. Was he told the same way in Athens? To leave Athens?
Jesus told him, for there are many in this city.
Uh-huh.
I want you to stay here, preach the gospel. Do not be afraid. Keep speaking. I'm with you. Why? For what purpose? Because there is many in the city that need to be saved.
Amen.
And God places, as what Johanna said, God places us in certain situations or places, specific places, because God knows that there are people there that need to be saved. Like whether it be in your work or in your school or in your church or, you know, wherever you go, in that gym that you go to a week, you know, once a week or twice a week, there's people in there that God wants you to reach.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's the manager or maybe it's your school teacher or professor, whoever.
Right.
God wants you to reach that person.
Paul once, when he was Saul, he was blinded, and Jesus gave him sight again. And I think that in this encounter with Jesus, when he's told these words, he's also given sight again, because he was not seeing anything that could lead his mind to believe that this was going to be profitable.
Mm.
But God, who knows the heart,
yes,
opened his spiritual eyes again to see, no, I know that you don't see it at this moment, and I know that each one of us may not see some of the people that we're working for to bring close to Jesus as anything is happening. But God, who knows the heart, knows, and he knows when we need to continue and when we need to stop.
Amen, yes.
Sometimes the Lord sends us to certain places just for a certain purpose, to save certain people, to give them the insight, give them the understanding they need so they can have a better relationship with the Lord. And that's what Paul was able to do in these different cities. He was able to open their spiritual minds and touch their hearts to give them, you know, what they needed to, you know, be seed planters themselves.
Mm.
Every difficulty, if we take it by the hand of God, can be a learning moment for us.
Yes.
For to show us who we really are and our faults, and also to help us become more efficient in the work and the call that God has given each one of us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's so easy to go to a new place, right? And you're there for, let's say, a year and a half, and then all of a sudden you see the issues going on. Mm-hmm. It's a temptation to just want to pack up and go and leave. Let me just get out of here, because I'm here and nothing is happening, and I can't solve anything at this rate, so I might as well just leave, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's that temptation that Paul had going from city to city.
Right.
But God always, whenever God wants him to stay, he stays. Or to leave, he leaves, right?
Uh-huh.
And so Paul was kind of like he went from city to city. This reminds me of the Philippines. I know pastors there in the Philippines, they have more than one church. Some of them have around 10. And they are miles and hours drive apart. Some of them also have to take the boat to cross the sea and then take a long bus ride to go to their church. You know how it is, Dr. Jim.
Yeah, I had 20 churches then when I was
see?
First assigned.
And so the laborers are few. And God wants us to be all called to work for Him. And that's what Jesus says, occupy till I come.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You still have some thoughts?
Well, just the fact with Pastor Mike, sir, that same experience that Paul has can be ours. But yes. What is the premise for that? The close relationship with God that allows us to hear the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. I like what you said a while ago about God's mentioning many things. To say that Pastor Mark has mentioned that. Apparently, Paul was not seeing that. Many in this city are mine, right? Does that somehow remind you of an incident in the Old Testament where someone doesn't see, only sees defeat?
Jonah.
Yes, Jonah. Another one. There's another one. You remember Elijah?
Elijah, yeah.
Elijah?
Yeah.
Right? That
when the eyes were open and he was able to see all the angels around him. And same for us.
When we get to that point that we get so discouraged in the work of the Lord, what's the best way to do? Back up and go.
Remember, the Lord is your rock and your fortress and your deliverer.
Yes. Well, I think what you mentioned about his real close connection with God was really very close, that God has to speak to him and said, you know, no, don't get discouraged. There are many here, right? Okay, let's move forward for Thursday's lesson, the Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Basically, this is the whole introduction to his letter, right? All that we have talked about is only preliminaries, and first, now this basically summarizes the whole theme of the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, right? What are some of the many issues? Well, we have mentioned a while ago, but specifically, what are the issues among the Christian believers that compelled Paul to write these letters that he felt passionate about to address? You mentioned, of course, sexual immorality, and what else?
1 Corinthians 5, 9-11 mm-hmm. talks about sexual immorality, covetousness, idolatry, drunkenness, even mm-hmm. extortion, people who are extortioning others. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different issues there that were present in Corinth and in the church.
Right. Anyone else has noticed anything? Are those familiar issues here?
Those are some of the same issues that we have here now today. In different cities, people doing those same type of, imposters, or they're trying to embezzle, they're trying to, lead people down the wrong path. And it's very sad, but these people needed the Lord. And that's why Paul was there, to help show them the right path. Even though a lot of people didn't want to hear it, he was guiding them in the right direction.
And Paul was there, for a year and a half, 18 months, but he didn't just limit himself to be in that one location. He started to plant churches in different cities as well. And that's why these letters are here, was because he was a distance away from that church in Corinth that he started. And so these letters were so important. And there were back and forth communication going on as well. And so there was all these letters coming from Paul. Paul would receive letters and he would begin to address all the issues that came up from those letters coming to Paul. Paul would send out a letter. All right, this is how you address sexual immorality. All right, this is how you address the Sabbath. This is how you address women keeping silent in the church, or, like any issues like that. Like, he was there to support the flock, kind of like a pastor.
Today, it's so easy for us to believe that sexual immorality is all rampant also around us, right? But within the church, do we know that's an issue? Hmm. We probably are just not aware, right? But if you are a pastor, or if you are someone who was sent there, and you know something within the church, that's a big problem. How do you go about it? How do you even approach it? Or would you even care?
You know, back in Paul's day, they didn't have text messaging. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have social media. Uh-huh. They didn't have, you know, WhatsApp, whatever. And they had snail mail, which was you physically have to write a letter.
Yes.
And then you put it on a ship that takes it to them and hand carry or, carriage. Yeah, in a row of scroll. Yeah. And so it was a process. It took time for letters to be received back and forth. And but the church was hungry to hear from Paul because there was, as mentioned, so many issues going on.
Yeah, so many issues, right? But did Paul really care? I mean, for the Christian believers. I mean, most pastors probably are, if not many, or many if not most, I would say, that after they serve in a certain place, then they move on. They are actually assigned in some other district or church. They forget all about their previous church, right? But did he really care when he sent those letters to the... When he sent those letters, he was in Ephesus, right?
Ephesus.
Yes.
I think he really cared about the other churches. He had a lot of compassion for them, and he wanted to try to fix their issues and their problems. Mm-hmm. And it was... These were issues that, you know, a lot of churches deal with, and we're dealing with a lot of those same type issues today. And he was trying to give them the best information he could to solve the issues so it would not get in the way of their spiritual life.
Or did he just write those letters because he was disturbed by what he saw?
Paul gives us the motive in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 4. It says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears."
Yes.
Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you.
Amen.
Amen.
And he loved them.
He really loved them. So even though he was already away, right? He was not just simply addressing the problems. But he really cared for them.
He even says at some point that he talks to them as children because he has begotten them in the gospel. Just like, you know, a good father will discipline and in a loving and caring way his children. Amen. He was doing just the same.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Very well said.
And there are other times when he wrote letters back to his churches. He was suffering affliction. He was in chains. He was in bondage. Or sometimes he was shipwrecked, right? In Iraq, Lebanon. And so he experienced suffering and trials. And yet, despite all of that, he still wrote love letters to his churches. Yeah. And he said, you know what, I care for you. And let me tell you about my testimony, my experience that I just got through to encourage you.
Yes.
To get you through the storms that you're facing in those churches.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, well, we're running out of time, but let's wrap this up with some closing thoughts. You have any closing thoughts, Sister Joanna?
I think that a lot of the lesson revolved on Paul's identity, and that was set correctly in that encounter with Jesus and his continued relationship with the Jesus that he found in his way, you know, to Damascus. So I think that is the same for us. It is not just enough to get to know him in the moment, but to continue that relationship so that we can hear the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And that I would like to close with our memory text, actually. And one night the Lord said to Paul, it was mentioned a while ago, in vision, do not be afraid. Think about that. But speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you. That was a promise. To harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people. Acts 18:9-11. And for those of you who want to have a copy of the of our presentation today, please, you can write or email us at csh@saccentral.org, or even call us at number 916-457-6511. And ask for a CD or a DVD, offer number C202627. Again, that's offer number C202627. And thank you very much for joining us in our discussion today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you, Lord, for this time that we had discussion about the life of Paul, especially, particularly his ministry in Corinth. And it gives us encouragement, oh Lord, especially when things become difficult. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that you will give us success, not because of us, but because of you. And you will tell us there will be people who we can reach. Teach us not to give up, oh Lord. And I pray that you'll bless each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.